Welcome to the Banner of Truth. The following program of inspiration is brought to you by the Free Reformed Church, with locations in Monarch, Lacombe, and Calgary. And now, the Banner of Truth, with Pastor Jack Schumann.
Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Genesis chapter 21, verses 1 through 7. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, Who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. Dear friends, the birth of Isaac marks something of a climax in the life of Abraham. In chapter 12, verse 2, when God called Abraham and Sarah to leave Ur of the Chaldees and make their way to a land that he would show them, God promised to make of them a great nation, even though, as we read in chapter 11, verse 30, Sarah was barren. This promise was confirmed in chapter 13, verse 16, and again in chapter 15, verse 4. Several years passed by, but still, Abraham and Sarah had no child. Then in chapter 16, Abraham and Sarah decided to take matters into their own hands. Sarah proposed to Abraham that he take Hagar, her maidservant, and try to produce an heir through her. As it turned out, the scheme worked. Hagar became pregnant and gave birth to Ishmael. For a while, it appeared as though the problem of an heir was solved. But then the Lord appeared to Abraham in chapter 17 and told him that Ishmael would not be the heir. Rather, Sarah would have a son, and he would establish his covenant with him. By this time, however, Abraham was 100 years old, and Sarah 90 years old, well past the age of childbearing. Humanly speaking, it appeared God's promise would never come to pass. But now, 25 years after Abraham and Sarah left Ur of the Chaldees, the promise was fulfilled. Abraham and Sarah had a son, and they called his name Isaac. This is the subject to which we would like to draw your attention this morning. The theme for the sermon is the birth of Isaac. We'll consider 4 points. First, its unique character. Secondly, its accompanying obedience. Thirdly, its joyful response. And fourthly, its redemptive significance. Our text passage begins by recording the birth of Isaac. We read here, And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken, for Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. We learn here that the birth of Isaac was no ordinary birth. It was unique, and it was unique in at least 3 ways. First of all, the birth of Isaac was unique in that it was the result of the Lord's visitation. We read in verse 1, And the Lord visited Sarah. Now, the word visited in this context means to pay particular attention to, or to take a special interest in. The Lord here paid particular attention to Sarah. He took a special interest in her. And the result was she conceived and bore a son. Now, to a certain extent, every birth is the result of the Lord's visitation. Let us never think that the birth of a child, any child, is merely a function of biology. It is not. Every birth is a miracle. It is the result of a gracious visitation of the Lord God. But this is especially true in this case. And the reason is, of course, because Sarah was barren, and she was well past the age of childbearing. Remember, she was 90 years old. And yet, in spite of this, she gave birth to a son. Well, how do we explain this? Well, there is only one explanation, and it is the explanation offered in our text. This is nothing other than a visitation of the Lord. the Lord had supernaturally enabled Sarah to conceive a child when clinically and physically she was absolutely unable to do so, and that makes Isaac's birth unique. Secondly, the birth of Isaac was unique in that it was the fulfillment of the Lord's promise. Again, in verse 1 we read, "And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken." Now, the birth of Isaac was no accident. It was the fulfillment of a divine promise. This promise was made first, as we've already seen, some 25 years earlier, when the Lord called Abraham and Sarah out of Ur of the Chaldees. And it was confirmed many times since then, as recently as 1 year ago. And now at last, it was fulfilled. We learn here that God is faithful. And it is so important for us to remember that. We have such a tendency to think that the Lord will not be faithful concerning his promises. But here we learn that the Lord is faithful. He will fulfill his promises, even when we have given up hope and when we think it is impossible. In Matthew 24, verse 35, Jesus says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Not one word of the Lord will fail to come to pass. The Lord will do what he has promised. Of that, we can be absolutely certain. Oh, what a comfort this is to those who have been praying, perhaps for years already, for the Lord to fulfill a certain promise in your life. At times you may feel that the Lord does not hear you, or that the Lord is not willing to answer your petition. But, dear friends, that is not necessarily the case. It may very well be that the Lord is waiting for just the right time to act. Remember, God is sovereign. He will work when it suits him, not us. And therefore, we must learn to be patient. We must wait patiently for the Lord. Thirdly, the birth of Isaac was unique in that it was a manifestation of the Lord's power. We read in verse 2, "Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age." Now, humanly speaking, it was absolutely impossible for Abraham and Sarah to have a son. They were both far too old. And yet it happened. Sarah bore Abraham a son in his old age. This is nothing short of a miracle. And we are reminded here that nothing is impossible for the Lord. No matter what you need, the Lord is able to provide it, no matter how impossible it may be from our side. Oh, if God was able to make Abraham and Sarah reproduce, he can do anything. He is able to heal you of a sickness or a disease. He is able to convert a loved one. He is able to do anything we ask of him. Oh, let us believe that then. Let us expect great things of God, for nothing, nothing is impossible with him. And so we see that the birth of Isaac was unique in every way. There was no other birth like it, and there has never been another birth like it since. Let us now consider our second point, its accompanying obedience. Immediately after Isaac was born, Abraham obediently kept the command of the Lord. He did so in two respects. First of all, he kept the command of the Lord when he named his son Isaac. We read in verse 3, "And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac," meaning laughter. Now, Abraham did not name his son Isaac because he liked the name, because he liked the way it sounded, and so on. No, he named him Isaac because that is what God told him to name him. You may recall back in chapter 17, verse 19, God said to Abraham, "Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac." Now, why did God command Abraham to name his son Isaac? Because both of his parents laughed when the Lord announced his birth. In Genesis 17, verse 17, after telling Abraham that his wife Sarah would have a son in her old age, we read that Abraham fell upon his face and laughed, and said in his heart, "Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear?" And Sarah did exactly the same thing. In chapter 18, verse 12, we read that when the three men came to visit Abraham at his tent, and when they confirmed the promise that Sarah would have a son, Sarah, who overheard the conversation from inside the tent, laughed within herself, saying, "After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" Now, to be sure, there was a great difference between the laughter of Abraham and the laughter of Sarah. The laughter of Abraham was a laughter of wonder and amazement. The laughter of Sarah, however, was a laughter of skepticism and unbelief. Nevertheless, the point is, both parents laughed at the announcement of Isaac's birth. Now, to commemorate this laughter, the Lord commanded Abraham to name his son Isaac, which means laughter. And Abraham did so. Not only because he had to, but because he wanted to. You see, in naming his son Isaac, Abraham expressed the hope that Isaac would live up to the meaning of his name, that he would bring laughter to all with whom he came into contact, not the laughter of humor, but the laughter of joy, joy in God through Christ, his son. That was Abraham's hope for his son. And it was in this hope that he named his son Isaac. Secondly, Abraham kept the command of the Lord when he circumcised his son on the eighth day. We read in verse 4, "And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him." Now, the command to circumcise on the eighth day was given already in chapter 17, verse 12. "There the Lord said to Abraham, And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man-child in your generations. He that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed." In circumcising his son, therefore, Abraham was faithfully carrying out the command of the Lord. We must not think, though, that in circumcising his son, Abraham was merely engaging in an empty ritual. No, he did this out of faith. You see, in circumcising his son, Abraham expressed his hope and his deepest desire that his son might receive that to which circumcision pointed, namely a new heart by which he would serve God all his days. We learn something from this. We learn that when we present our children for baptism, which, as we've seen in a previous sermon, replaces circumcision, we must do so out of faith. Not out of custom, but out of faith. And it's sad to say that this is often no longer the case. In many churches that practice infant baptism, more often than not, the parents present their children for baptism merely out of custom. But that was not true of Abraham. Abraham circumcised Isaac out of faith, faith in God and in his promises. My friends, do we do the same? Oh, let us take instruction from Abraham here. Let us be faithful in presenting our children for baptism, but let us do so out of faith in God and in his promises. We see, therefore, something of Abraham's response to the birth of Isaac. Let us now look at Sarah's response. We look at that under our third point, its joyful response. After Sarah had given birth to Isaac, we read that she laughed. Verse 6 says, "And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me." This laughter of Sarah's, however, was different than the laughter of chapter 18. We've already noticed that this laughter, the laughter in chapter 18, was a laughter of unbelief. But the laughter here in chapter 21 is a different kind of laughter. This is a laughter of joy and thanksgiving. Sarah laughed out of joy and praise to God. Why did Sarah laugh? Let me suggest several reasons. First, she laughed out of pure joy. Sarah had been waiting for this moment for many, many years, and now at long last, it finally arrived. She had given birth to a son. And so she did what any mother does after they have given birth to a healthy child. She laughed. She rejoiced. Secondly, she laughed in amazement. She laughed in amazement First of all, at the power of God. As we have seen, Sarah was biologically and physically incapable of giving birth. She was barren, and she was well past the age of childbearing. And yet she gave birth to a son. And she not only gave birth, but she also gave suck, as we read in verse 7. Humanly speaking, this is impossible. But God is all-powerful, you see. He enabled Sarah to do something that she was utterly incapable of. Sarah knew this, and so she laughed. She laughed at the power of God. But she also laughed in amazement at the faithfulness of God. You see, Sarah realized that she did not deserve this great blessing which the Lord had bestowed upon her. She had doubted the Lord's promises many times. She even tried to get Abraham to produce an heir through Hagar. Oh, had the Lord dealt with her according to what she deserved, she would never have had a son. But the Lord did not do so. The Lord was very gracious to Sarah. She knew that. And so she laughed. Dear friends, do you know something about this laughter? Have you ever laughed like Sarah laughed here in our text? We hear a lot about laughter today. There are comedy shows on radio and television. You can even subscribe to a station on cable that broadcasts nothing but comedy 24 hours a day and 7 days a week. But that's not the kind of laughter I'm speaking about. That is a temporary, even empty kind of laughter. No, the kind of laughter I am speaking about this morning is a holy laughter. It is a laughter that is worked in our hearts by the Holy Spirit of God. And I ask you, do you know something of this kind of laughter? Sadly, there are very few really happy Christians today. To a certain extent, that is understandable, of course. When we consider our sins and how far short we come of the glory of God, who can really be happy? But when we consider who God is, that He is gracious and merciful and slow to anger and plenteous in love, and when we consider what He has done for us, how He sent His Son to die for our sins and adopted us to be His children and bestows on us the gift of His Holy Spirit. And when we consider what He promises, the forgiveness of sins and everlasting life, my friends, how can we not laugh? How can we not rejoice? We who have so much more to laugh about than Sarah ever dreamed possible. Surely this is why the Apostle Paul writes in Philippians 4, verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice." He writes this because as Christians we have so much to rejoice about. Oh, since that is so, let us take instruction and example from Sarah in our text. Let us rejoice in the Lord. Let us rejoice in His goodness, in His love, in His mercy, in His long-suffering, in His power, and in His grace. Let us be a joyful people unto the Lord in thankfulness for all that He has done and will do for us and in us through Jesus Christ, His Son. There's one more point we need to consider in this connection, and that is the redemptive significance of Isaac's birth. We look at that under our fourth and final point. The birth of Isaac is a powerful foreshadowing of the birth of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ. This becomes obvious in Genesis 22, when God commanded Abraham to sacrifice his son on Mount Moriah. We hope to come back to that a little later in this series. But when we examine the life of Isaac carefully, we see that such parallels abound. They begin already at his birth. Consider the following. First, the birth of both Isaac and Jesus was predicted long before it occurred. We have seen this many times in the case of Isaac. There are at least three explicit references to the birth of Isaac. In chapter 15, verse 4, in chapter 17, verse 19, in chapter 18, verse 10, and there are several implicit ones. There are many more references in the case of our Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, the whole Old Testament is filled with prophecies concerning his birth. Yes, both the birth of Isaac and Jesus was predicted long before it occurred. Secondly, between the promise and the fulfillment of the promise, there was a period of delay. Some 25 years had passed between the time that God had promised the birth of Isaac and the fulfillment of that promise. This is true also in the case of the Lord Jesus, except in his case, several thousand years had passed. Thirdly, the promise of their birth was met with doubt and amazement. Chapter 18, verse 13, after hearing that she would give birth to a son in her old age, Sarah laughed within herself and said, "After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" For this the Lord rebuked her and said to Abraham, "Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord?'" We find something similar when the Lord announced the birth of Christ to Mary. Although Mary's response was not as skeptical as Sarah's, her question was about the same. "How shall this be?" she said. To which the angel responded in Luke 1, verse 37, "With God, nothing shall be impossible." Fourthly, the names of the children were full of meaning and were given even before they were born. In Genesis 17, verse 19, God said to Abraham, "Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac." Similarly, in Matthew 1, verse 21, God said to Joseph, "She that is Mary shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Fifthly, the births occurred at the time appointed by God. In the case of Isaac, the Lord had said three times that he would be born at a set time. Similarly, in Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5, the Apostle Paul, referring to the birth of Jesus Christ, writes, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." Like the birth of Isaac, the birth of Jesus Christ was neither too early nor too late. It occurred at exactly the right time. It occurred at God's time. Sixth, both births were miraculous. Oh, to be sure, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ was far more miraculous than the birth of Isaac, for Jesus was conceived in the womb of a virgin by the Holy Spirit. Isaac was conceived naturally, albeit by parents who, humanly speaking at least, were incapable of reproducing. But this is exactly what we would expect if the earlier birth is a foreshadowing of the later birth. It only makes sense, doesn't it, that a lesser miracle is followed by a greater miracle. Furthermore, Jesus in his conception received a dual nature. He was both human and divine, whereas Isaac was only human. Seventh and finally, the birth of both Isaac and Christ was accompanied by great joy. In the case of Isaac, as we have seen, Sarah laughed. In the case of Jesus, Mary rejoiced. You may recall, after hearing the greeting of her cousin Elizabeth, Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Mary rejoiced at the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and she wasn't the only one. So did the angels. Remember when the angels appeared to the shepherds the night that Jesus was born? They said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And then we read, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" And since that time, all those who have come to faith in Jesus Christ and have tasted something of his salvation have experienced similar joy. Yes, still today, those who are believers in Christ know something of the joy and laughter that Sarah and Mary and the angels of heaven experienced. This is a deep-seated, heartfelt joy that comes from knowing that all of our sins are forgiven, that we are new creatures in Christ, and that when we die, as we must, we will live and reign with him forever. Dear friends, do you know something of this joy? This is the greatest joy in the entire world. The joy that the world offers is shallow and temporary, but the joy that there is in Christ is deep, and it will endure to all eternity. Dear friends, do you know something of this joy? If so, then strive by God's grace to live out of this joy day by day. But if you do not, then on behalf of my sender, Jesus Christ, I may offer it again to you this morning. And I urge you, become a partaker of this joy. You say, well, how can I do that? You do that very simply by going to the Lord, confessing your sin, repenting of your sins, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, looking to him alone as the only hope and ground of your salvation. O sinner, this morning, believe on his name, and you too shall experience joy unspeakable, both now and forevermore. Amen. Dear friends, this radio broadcast is not meant as a substitute for worshiping in a faithful Bible-believing church. If you are not currently worshiping in such a church, you are welcome to join us for our services in Monarch, Calgary, and Lacombe. It is always a great encouragement to us when we hear from our listeners. If you have been blessed by the message you have heard this morning, or would like a CD of the message, please write to The Banner of Truth, Post Office Box 220, Fort McLeod, Alberta, TOL0Z0. That's The Banner of Truth, Post Office Box 220, Fort McLeod, Alberta, TOL0Z0. Or you can call me at area code 403-553-3400. 403-553-3400. For your information, these messages are now being posted on the internet. Enter www.sermonaudio.com in your search engine and follow the links. For the benefit of those listeners living in Calgary, I'm very pleased to announce that we have moved into our own building on the corner of Glenmore and Blackfoot Trails in Calgary. To mark the occasion, we are planning a dedication evening this coming Friday at 8 o'clock p.m., the Lord willing. You are most welcome to attend. For directions to the church, please call the church office at area code 403-254-6591. That's 254-6591. Or you can log on to our website at www.frcna.org. We would love to see you there. And now, until next week, may the Lord be with you all.
Thank you for listening to The Banner of Truth. For more information about The Banner of Truth and the Free Reformed Churches, visit our website at frcna.org. Services are held every Sunday in Calgary at 9:30 and 2:30, in Lacombe at 10 o'clock and 3 o'clock, and in Monarch at 10 o'clock and 7 o'clock. Pastor Jack Schumann can be reached at 403-553-3400. Join us again next week at the same time for The Banner of Truth.